Well, welcome back to another episode of Winning Through Culture. I am so very excited today to be here with Jordan Peace. We have had a relationship over the last couple of years as it relates to some ongoing lifestyle benefit offerings that we've been able to provide to our employees and associates on a campaign basis. And today we get to talk about all things fringe and the ability to reward your employees, whether it is at a small or a large scale. So Jordan, welcome. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you, Amanda. This should be fun. This is like my favorite topic. So
excellent. Very good. For those of you who have listened along with us for a while, both Tim and myself were actually guests on Jordan's podcast in 2021. So I'm really excited to have him on this side of the table so we can have a deeper discussion around really what it looks like to effectively reward your employees, whether you are a small business, a large business, entrepreneur, haven't even thought about it, or maybe you're even pretty far down the path. So from a standpoint of fringe, you started it back in 2018.
Yes.
Can you give me a little bit of context about how that came to be in the first place?
Yeah. Well, you know a little of this, but for the sake of your listeners, I was a financial advisor. And so I know the world that you guys live in and the type of work that is. I won't say who I was with. It may have been a competitive situation there, but MassMutual is wonderful. So I was a financial advisor. I actually left the firm I was with, started my own. And it was in a situation where we wanted to give advice around planning, around not necessarily like all around retirement, but work with Gen Xers and Gen Y that had a high income, but not necessarily a ton of assets yet, and help them kind of just get on the right course and just figure out money and understand what in the world all this stuff meant, right? Because much of this finance stuff is like written in alien language. Like nobody understands it unless you're a financial advisor or an attorney or you studied it in school or something.
The list of acronyms is very long.
You're right. It's unbelievable, right? And so to be honest, it was through these conversations where I found myself explaining benefits to people just over and over and over again. What's a max out of pocket versus a deductible? And I get restricted stock from my company and it's on something called a vesting schedule. Like I don't, what does vesting mean? Is that where like wearing a three-piece suit? Like I don't understand what that is referring to. And so there's a lot of explaining. And you would think when you would explain all that to your client, they'd go, oh, wow, my company's so generous. This is so wonderful. But not really. Like they were a little bit more excited about their traditional benefits, right? But it was, to an extent, it's kind of table stakes, right? It's just, yeah, you're going to do the insurance and maybe 401k is the sort of basic stuff at this point. And so I had this theory. It was based out of a little bit of being tired of having the same conversation over and over again, for one. And also just wanting to see the world improve and progress and so forth. I turned to my business partner and I was like, man, why don't companies offer benefits that you don't have to be sick or dead or disabled or 65 to benefit from? Like those are great. They're important. They're staples of what it means to be an employee of a good organization. But can we do more that is impactful in the day-to-day and so forth? And so that conversation led us to spin up this idea of lifestyle benefits, many of which are subscription services and other things that reduce stress in people's lives. They give them time back in their day, impact their family in some positive way, or we say spark joy, which we sort of ripped that one off. But that was the original vision. It's just, what can we build to add to the benefits suite? And so I could go on and on about the story, but I'll stop there and you tell me what direction you want me to go.
That's great. I know many organizations is a new year. You know, you kind of get to your traditional benefits package. And as you said, they're table stakes at this point. So really looking at new ways to have employee engagement. And really, when I look at Fringe, and we are a user of that, which is great, it really is a way for us to meet our associates, employees, whatever terminology you want to use, where they are, and really what's going to be most impactful for them. And I think in your bio, which I always find really entertaining, and this is a question I always like to ask, is from a standpoint of, you talked some about like the subscription services and some of the lifestyle benefit offerings that are on the platform. What is your favorite fringe offering?
mine screams, I'm a dad that needs to get out of the house more. So mine is actually a program called Sunday, which is they send you the seeds and the fertilizer and all the stuff you need to maintain a really nice lawn from a DIY standpoint. So I enjoy that. It kind of gets me in a quiet kind of zen place.
Right.
Get out and work in the yard. So that's my thing.
That's the best part, because that's such an untraditional benefit. That's right. Not what somebody thinks about when they say, oh, my company is actually rewarding me in some way, shape, or form. And that's a lifestyle acumen that you're building too, which is pretty cool. And I always think that it's really great, because a lot of times people will look at and say, okay, benefits are medical, dental, all these lovely things.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, I loved how you said it. And I know we kind of like play off of it, but spark joy. Like, what really do you want to invest in that ultimately will invest in your people in a way in which invests in their happiness and their overall, if you want to think about it long-term, retention, right? From a company perspective. And I know that there are tons of businesses, all shapes and sizes, all different industries that utilize this kind of lifestyle benefit offering. How do you, when you think about and have conversations with people who might be interested in going that direction and kind of adding this to their table stakes? I'd like it to be a table stake at some point in the future for every company.
Yes.
But how do you see and define culture as it relates to when a company does institute something like Fringe?
I always say Fringe will not fix a bad culture, but it is a megaphone with which to tell your people you love them more loudly. That's what it is, right? So I think what happens when companies use Fringe and it shows up on their Glassdoor, it shows up on their careers page, or it shows up just in the mouths or on the fingertips of their employees on LinkedIn or whatever the case may be, it is an indicator. It is a crystal clear indicator that this employer gets it, right? Like, this is an employer of choice. I want to check this out. I'm not even looking as closely at the salary or even the traditional benefits, because there's something about this that screams, they get me, they care about me, right? It's so interesting, because most companies are spending, I don't know, maybe just call it $600, $700 a year on Fringe per individual on average, right? If they're doing kind of our flagship lifestyle benefits stipend, that's nice. It's not a ton of money. At that same company spending maybe $10,000 a year on an employee's health insurance and life and disability and yada, 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 right? So 700 versus 10,000. And yet the perceived value of that $700 of Fringe points is greater, especially in recruiting conversations and in retention conversations, than these benefits over here that are by far contain more actual value, right? Monetary value, right?
So the math tangibility of it. It's the, like, from a standpoint of just some of the campaigns that we've run, I've asked people, what one did you like the most? Like, there's the sock of the month club. Like, there's all these things that you can pick from. And it's the smallest things. One individual, and this is also one of my favorites, is the flower delivery service. So for 6 months, I got flowers that were just delivered to my house. Yeah. I would not normally purchase that for myself, but it was an offering. I was like, that's really nice. And it was like, it was a surprise. I didn't know what it was going to look like when it showed up. Yeah. It was there and it was perfect. And it's one of those things where you're talking about perceived value. That was something that was added. Again, sparked joy. It was a little bit of happiness, and it's not something that I can't see or touch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My life insurance is great. I need that. I need my health insurance, but it's that tangibility of it that I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think it even goes beyond you as the employee and gets into your family, right? Your spouse, your children, they get involved. They begin to get their Fringe benefits. And my kids talk about getting Kiwi Crate and all that kind of stuff that they get. They talk about it as their Fringe benefit. That's what they call it. You know,
that's,
it's
awesome.
Like, when am I getting for my Fringe benefit next year? You know, like, that's how they, so like in their mind, because of where daddy worked, they get benefits, which is just like a totally different way of thinking about the world, you know, for children. And so I think that's an aspect too, that's made it really sticky and really kind of a, really helps companies get those inroads of their culture into the home. Right. And make it feel less like the 9 to 5 and more like the there's a 24-hour partnership between employer and employee and the families involved.
Yeah. Well, and it's really focused on the complete person. So it's not just looking at an employee or an associate as somebody who has a widget that they produce or some type of spreadsheet or email or whatever that is. And you're really looking at kind of the mind, the body, and the soul of that individual and really what is most important to them to keep them happy and engaged and ultimately appreciated. Right. And I think from a standpoint of just conversations you and I have had, all of those things lead to having very loyal employees. Yes. And let's be real, the last couple of years have been difficult. Individuals are looking for things that are beyond those table stakes from an employer to say, are you investing in me? Do you care about me? If not, I can go over to X, Y, and Z company and I can make more. I don't know that the grass is going to be greener over there, but what are you doing to keep me engaged? Not even from a standpoint of just giving a raise or whatever, but what are you doing to really keep me engaged in the organization? And what are you doing to really look at me as a person, not as, you know, a number or somebody who can produce something for you? So I think it's interesting as you kind of talk about the fact that the benefits platform is changing. What people are looking for has expanded. When you think about like the future of benefits and really where you're going and where you see, you know, you could potentially take friends, is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah. For one, I think the world is shifting from a standpoint of there used to be this paradigm of there's full-time and there's part-time. And those lines, I think, are going to get continuously more blurred, right? There's more gig work alongside. And I also run my own company from home. And I, you know, like everybody's got like two or three side gig. Like that is, you just see that happening more and more and more. And so I think even the concept of benefits as something that only is applicable to a full-time employee, that probably is going to need to shift, right? So I don't know exactly what that looks like. And I think, too, the personalization aspect. Now, fringe, of course, kind of, it's all personalization, but that is just lifestyle benefits. It's in its own category for the moment. I think that personalization is going to begin to spread across traditional benefits as well, to the point where someday in the not-so-distant future, instead of saying, here's your health, here's your life, here's your 401k, et cetera, it's here's your 15 grand a year for you to choose where it goes on benefits. You can choose health and 401k and fringe. You could choose not health because you get it through your spouse and you get a whole lot of fringe and the best life insurance plan in the world, right? Like you choose, right? I think that back in the day, it was called the cafeteria model, but I think I refer to it as the Starbucks model now because that's what we grew up with, right?
It's right, like exactly.
Choosing exactly that like 17-word description of the perfect drink. I think that's where benefits are, right? I mean, it's extra whip and this is like, I mean, it's ridiculous. But that's what we know as consumers. And if the workplace doesn't catch up with the marketplace, people are going to lose interest. Like you got to keep up with this consumerism, this personalization, customization, like that's what our generation and younger, that's all we know.
Well, and I think it's also to the accessibility of it. So it is tangible. And I know I've used that word a couple of times, but it's tangible in a very different way than for me, my parents going through their collegiate career. And then also, of course, actually being in the workforce, just the benefit offering was very different. And it was those intangible things that ultimately resulted in making sure that, you know, you had coverage is what I'll call it in some way, shape or form. But now it's this, we constantly are being pinged and push notifications and all these different things. And so it's the accessibility to say, okay, this works for my life right now. It might not in 5 years, and that's okay. And I have the ability to change that. I have that selection power almost versus it just saying, okay, here are the five things that you get for being part of this organization, which I think is very, very intriguing, especially the conversation of the part-time versus full-time and what does that look like? And where is that kind of threshold of, okay, you are a full employee of said organization and here's what you can pick from. As you said, that kind of cafeteria style Starbucks. I like that reference a lot.
I'm just trying to update it.
Yeah. You can have your drink and all the 17 ingredients that go along with that. Right. And you can actually like preset it and you just hit a button when you're ready to order it, which I think is just, insane. We've grown so much in the accessibility component of how we consume things in life.
Yeah, that's not going away, and it's not going to start going in reverse. Like, whether you like it or don't like it as an employer, it's here, right?
So. Completely agree. So we talked a little bit about kind of the subscription model that Fringe is. And if an employer is using in a certain capacity, it can be a certain estimated dollar amount per employee that you're investing in that employee for lifestyle benefits.
Yeah.
I think one of the coolest things when we started to engage was, again, the ability to say, we can onboard so many employees, associates. We don't have to onboard everybody all at once. We can do it. We can almost do it like a pilot, see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Then we can actually either do it on a subscription model. At our firm, we use it from a campaign standpoint, which is cool. So we do an entire campaign every kind of summer bleeding into fall to really help people think about what are their goals, how they want to finish the year strong, not from a standpoint of a business aspect, but really from a lifestyle aspect. Right. What are the things they want to work on from their relational aspect, their physical aspect? Mm-hmm. And the campaigns have evolved from there. And Fringe has been our reward for participating and actually making movement or making progress in those arenas. When you start to engage with a business, no matter the industry, no matter how small, how big, what do you share with them about how a lifestyle benefit program is, again, tangible, kind of at any price point, I guess, for lack of a better way to say that, the introduction to a platform like that?
I think sometimes there's a, not sometimes, most of the time, there's a disconnect between what kind of your people team, right? The folks that are really thinking about the employee experience and all of that, they're intimately familiar with what's needed, right? Like, where are we lacking? Where are we doing well? Where are our people engaged? Where are they disengaged? Executives sometimes are also aware, also engaged, not always, right? And so what we find what we need to do is go, hey, tell me the idea. If you had all the money in the world to spend, tell me the ideal way you utilize this, right? And we paint a picture, right? And then we set that out in the future and go, okay, we'll get there, right? Now let's talk budget. What can we do now, right? So there's tons of ways you can utilize the Fringe platform, right? The first and kind of flagship, the way that we started was with a monthly lifestyle stipend, right? So X number of dollars per month for everybody to choose, very much like a benefit, right? You pay your premium and you choose what you want. We also, you know, like to your point around campaigns, around kind of rewards, ad hoc, you know, that sort of, I did this, I get that basis, but birthdays are a big part, work anniversaries. I think the work anniversary side and sort of that like loyalty building side is important. And I think a lot of companies sort of, they either don't spend enough on that or they do it in sort of just sort of a lame, antiquated way.
You know, say the booklet that comes to your house and it's like you can get a vacuum.
Right. A vacuum, you know? Or a weed eater or just.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just kind of weird. It's like, I don't really want my company to like provide my weed eater. I like just not meaningful. So I think that's an area that folks can get started in. But yeah, it really is for almost any budget. I think the only caveat I would give is that if you were to give your spouse like Christmas morning, hey, I found two nickels under the couch and I put them in your stocking, it would have been better to not hang the stocking, right?
Right.
Like, you can offend with doing too little more so than with doing nothing. Right.
Right.
So
that's
very
true.
Yeah, I think there is a line, right, too, where you got to consider, is this meaningful? Is this exciting? Does this come off as generous? Right. Mm-hmm. Or does this come off as I was trying to throw as little money as some problem as I possibly could to make it go away? Right. It all kind of comes back to the intention of the leadership. Right. And if the intention is clear and if people can already tell that they're cared about and that they're valued, right, then there's not so much weight and pressure on exactly how much money you spend on things like this, right? But if this is like your one little thing that you do, right, to try to boost your culture, you're going to have to, you know, almost spend a ton of money to make it really feel like anything, if that makes sense.
Oh, it absolutely does. And I think, you know, for those who may or may not be familiar with Fringe as a platform, you're giving points. So it's not necessarily like, you have $150 to spend. you have a certain number of points that you allocate to an employee or an associate, and then they go in and have a variety. I mean, like the list keeps growing. I don't even know how many vendors are now on Fringe. When we first started engaging, it was 100+. And I know that it's more than that now. It's everything, like you said, from a subscription to like Spotify or Hulu, all the way to some of the ones that you and I have discussed where you talked about Sunday.
Right.
And I talked about the flower delivery service. Like it really does span anything and everything that someone, based on where they are in their kind of life cycle, could want to engage in.
Right.
And I think that it's really important from a perspective that you do have that plug and play opportunity. So for a small business, they can invest where it makes a meaningful impact, but it also is, it's supplemental to those table stake benefits that they need to offer. Mm-hmm. So there definitely is that range where you can successfully implement, I think, a strategy like this for rewarding or retention, or it's simply just, we care about you and here it is. And I think that from a standpoint of your team, y'all have made it so easy. The engagement that you get and the fact that you have a relationship partner who can help work through this with you at whatever scale you're really able to invest in it as, is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a lot of different organizations, a lot of different ways for organizations to reward or think about retention strategies or to think about benefits.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, one offering, one that I highly encourage people to explore. But for those, you know, when you do have a conversation with a small business and they aren't able to invest the resources, kind of like you said, I found some change and I put it in your stocking. You can do a little bit more damage with that than just not having the stocking.
Right.
Have you had a conversation with a small business or an entrepreneur that's, you know, thinking about something along these lines and you're like, this probably isn't the best fit, but maybe here are some other ideas? I'm sure that you're always noodling on how to help in that space.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, like I said, I don't think that Fringe is like this golden ticket that your culture is poor and then you add it in and all of a sudden it's rich, right? That's not the thing. It's a fantastic supplement and a great leading indicator for that applicant, right? To go, oh, okay, right? But there are others, right? So I think the two things that I would advise most, one is find ways to listen, right? Surveys are wonderful. You learn a lot, but they're not highly personal. You don't get a lot of emotion out of the survey, right? You'll get information, but it's not like someone actually bent their ear, right? And said, hey, I want to hear, right? Mm-hmm. What your feedback. So I think that's one thing that's huge in terms of culture building, in terms of just engagement and helping people feel valued, is make sure that their managers, or if somebody on the executive team, like make the time to reach out, what can I do to help you? What can I do to serve you? How's it been your first 3 weeks or 3 months or 6 years? Or how is it going? It
doesn't matter the time frame.
It's enormous. It is enormous.
as long as somebody sits down.
Just to be seen, right? To be seen and heard. That is a big, big deal. And then I'm going to sound like I'm a million years old, but like write notes. Like just write a note. Yeah, a Slack message is great too. An email is fine. You know, we use and infringe internally. We use a company called Punk Post, which is kind of a ridiculous name for what it is. But you write the letter that you want to write digitally, send it to Punk Post, and these handwriting artists, they will make a beautiful card with your message and mail it to that recipient. And it's just, it's gorgeous, you know, and you throw a photo in there and you make it really special. That's the core stuff, right? Like that, you can't replace that stuff with anything. People just being seen and heard and understood and valued. And so it all starts at the top. And you know this. I mean, you work with Tim really closely. You know, none of this would be happening. This podcast wouldn't be happening. Your culture wouldn't be what it is. You would certainly wouldn't be customers of Fringe if he didn't get it. If he didn't like actually care about his people, right? It just wouldn't happen, right? Well,
and it's funny that you bring that up because a lot of the time, many people ask, what is your role in the organization? And there are not many versions of me. And I'm saying that specifically from a financial services industry standpoint. It just, I don't exist. my role doesn't exist at a lot of different places. And really when I work to kind of explain what I do, it's really wrapped in, you know, that culture bucket, but it's that tangibility of having that feedback conversation. And you mentioned it, and it's just something that I constantly think about. I'm always seeking input and feedback. And I say this, it doesn't matter if you're an advisor, an associate, a staff member, part-time, full-time.
Right.
I've seen you once, you were an intern 12 years ago. It's one of those things where I say, I want the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's on everything we do. Right. So it's our benefit platform. It's on how you receive communications from us. Right. It's how you feel when you walk into the office. And I have gotten a smattering of crazy things that people have come back to me and be like, I think that we should have a signature scent in the lobby. I'm like, okay, all right, cool. Let me think about that, how we would effectively do it. And then I have the people who are like, I would like healthier options in the vending machine.
Right.
And then you have people who are, everything you do is thoughtful. And the card you wrote, like just speaking to that. I mean, it's the small things that add up in a very big way.
Yeah.
And I constantly am asking for that feedback. And I think you said it really well. If you don't have some type of mechanism to get that beyond an electronic survey, you are missing the boat. Right. Doesn't matter how many programs you institute, how many dollars or points you give to wherever it is, or if you use a fringe platform, you have a culture, whether you know you've built one or not.
Yeah.
And if you don't have somebody who's invested, and it doesn't have to be, and I would honestly suggest it's not your HR person.
Right.
I think it needs to be somebody else, somebody who is kind of seen in a separate light, where they have that comfortability, where they can say the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. And then when you receive that feedback, you actually need to do something with it. And I always say in my conversations, I want to hear it. Please know that I will do what I can and share this back, but I am not going to be able to move a mountain in a day. So we'll take on what we can, because we want to do it effectively and we want it to be impactful for you. Mm-hmm. I don't just want to throw something on the wall. We do it right now and then we don't do it 6 months from now. Yeah. So it's really important to kind of have that consistency and have that person. And it doesn't have to be like an extra, I know I'm talking about me as a role, but it doesn't have to be an extra role that you hire. Like you said, it could just be somebody on your executive leadership team. Mm-hmm. It could actually honestly be an associate that you task with having that voice and being that ambassador for the organization. It really could look a myriad of ways, depending on how you're structured and ultimately just how you want to receive that feedback.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I got you up on your pulpit there. That was good.
You did. You absolutely did.
You're like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. You're like, about that. I know I do. I get asked a lot. So it's always interesting when people are like, okay, what do you do again? There's so many things. But at the end of the day, just making sure that we are having that opportunity to hear the voice of everyone who's a part of our organization. It doesn't really matter what your title is or how long you've been here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that we're constantly asking for input, because we don't know what we don't know. And my experience would be different than your experience. And so all of those equate to, you know, building out the culture. And like you said, installing a platform like Fringe is great, but it's not the golden ticket to fix the culture, air quote, or to take it from one to the next level. It simply is an opportunity for you to really hear, listen, and then provide impactful resources.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So as far as kind of how you have developed Fringe in general, and the partnership that you have, and working in all these different industries and all these different vendors, and thinking about how organizations really work to have vibrant, rewarding, and ultimately productive cultures and organizations that hear and listen and ultimately are able to provide those impactful resources. What advice do you have for someone who's just starting, meaning they have a table stakes benefit package and that's all? What would be your like step one, step two?
Like programmatically or like mental, like what should they be thinking?
Mentally. I'm listening to this conversation, we've talked a lot about some of the offerings, the accessibility from a monetary perspective. But if I'm mentally like, okay, cool, this is something I think I want to do.
Yeah. what I've learned from starting Fringe is the culture is going to reflect the founders. Like it just is, right? And so I say, first, be honest with yourself about who you are and what you value. Because if you fake it and you try to write the script for what you think people want to hear or what they value or what you wish you valued if you were a better person or whatever your thing is, right? Like that is just going to fall apart, right? It's got to be authentic. It's got to actually be about what you care about, what your values are. Like, and that's a real soul-searching thing for most people, I'd say, to sit down and go, okay, like I'm going to turn off my phone and the TV and the news and get away from the kids. And I'm going to sit here and think, what is my view of the world and ethics and what's right and what's wrong? And therefore, what's my mission? And therefore, what's my vision? And therefore, what are my values? Mm-hmm. Because that is, it's your business, right? Like it's going to reflect you as an individual or as a group, if there's a group of founders. Right. So I'd say be really honest about that. Don't BS yourself or anyone else, right? When it comes to that, write it down, right?
Yes. document it somewhere.
Write it down, right? And then I think it's totally fine, right? To then after that's then go get feedback from others, then go have some editing take place and whatever, but don't involve other people at the very beginning. If it's just you or if it's you and a partner or whatever, write all that stuff down out of the depths of your heart. Because what's going to happen is you're going to attract and ultimately retain people that are aligned with those core values, right? And if you're not doing that, like something's wrong, right? Like if everybody on earth can just waltz into your company and they feel like, oh, this is great, then your company is probably not about anything. It probably doesn't have any real values. It probably doesn't draw any lines in the sand whatsoever, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think a company like that exists, by the way, but just to illustrate the point, right? And so let that be your guide of how you build your business, how you go about recruiting. And the second thing I'd say is those first few people you hire, those first 10 people you hire, let's say, everyone you hire from then forward will be, as much as human beings can be, a carbon copy of those first 10 people, right? Mm. They're going to look like them. They're going to sound like them. They're going to think like them because they're the ones that are going to give you the referrals. They're going to be your new norm for what a good employee looks like, sounds like, feels like, right? So you're going to just naturally, not trying to, not may not be purposeful, but you're just going to go get copies of those folks, right? So they better be diverse in the way that they look and sound and think, et cetera. They better be as talented as you want them to be, as aligned with the values that you have as that you want them to be. They better be great because it's not going to go, you just can't change it. You really can't. Like it is set after those first, I'd say 10.
That's interesting. I've never really thought about it in that way, but you're right. A lot of times leaders will talk about finding individuals that complement them, which you absolutely should. You do not want everybody to have the same competency level in X, Y, and Z. You really need diversity of thought and diversity of ability, honestly. There's all these different studies that come out and tests you can take, and it's DISC and Colby and all these things. Yeah, and there's always something new. And the most recent that I've done is Working Genius. And it's really interesting because you can plot going back to those first 10 employees. You might have one person who is like, their terminology, of course, is different for all the different tests you can take. But if you might have one person that's really good at rallying the group around an idea, being the cheerleader. And then you have eight other people who are over here, like, just get it done. Like, think it through. I'm going to go do X, Y, and Z. And you really need to think through that diversity when you are bringing on, you know, employees as a small business owner, because ultimately it will be a reflection and it will either cause you great success or it will cause you great pain. If everybody is exactly the same, you really are just going to, you think you're going to row in the same direction, but really you're all just having the same conversation and standing still.
Right. Yeah.
I had not thought about it that way, but you're very, very right that there's that carbon copy. You're not even doing it intentionally.
No.
It's that kind of, it just happens. It morphs over time, which is just so interesting.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Well, I know that you know that I'm a huge fan of French, and I highly encourage, no matter the size of the business, that you at least take a look at how your benefit program is being offered, making sure that it does something beyond the table stakes that just an individual is looking for when they're potentially thinking about you as an employer in whatever industry, fashion, however that shapes up to be. But any parting comments? As I mean, I know I'm a huge promoter of it, but anything on your end that you would want people to know about French?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, first I'll just say, yeah, thanks for having me and for being such a vocal fan of Fringe and what we do. I think I would just tell folks, like, there's no need to fight against the grain. Like, there's no need to fight the flow of things like lifestyle benefits and personalization and all this stuff coming into the workforce. It is ultimately good. And it really is what it boils down to is about garnering a real relationship between employer and employee that is not just a transaction. And I know that in the 70s and in the 60s and then the 50s, it was just a transaction. I get that. I've been told that by many a yes. Well-meaning retiree, right? Mm-hmm. That is not how things are. And it's okay. It's actually right. Okay. People still work really hard. They really care passionately about their jobs. Not everybody's a perfect employee, right? You still got to find the good ones and you still got to avoid the ones that maybe aren't going to work hard. But I would just encourage, this is a great movement. This is something that I think is actually going to bring more longevity to employee and employer relationships. I actually think we're going to move in the direction of people working places longer. I think we've actually hit the kind of the limit of, like, okay, 2 years and out. Yeah. People are actually looking, and COVID has something to do with this, but looking for a home. They really are looking for a home. You just have to make it feel like one, right? If you make it feel like a workplace, they're going to go find a place that feels like a home. So that it's not really about Fringe necessarily, but that is the movement. That is what Fringe is part of, is that tidal wave of moving towards prioritizing relationship between employer and employee.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Jordan, thank you for being with me. I've really enjoyed our partnership, and it will continue to be one for many years to come. And for all of you listening, we hope that you found this information to be impactful and relevant, and we look forward to seeing you on the next one.